We're back with
this broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. And right now I will introduce my co-host, Mr. Coleman. How are you today?
I'm good, Jenny White. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good.
So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Representative Liz Cheney, who voted to impeach Trump. We're talking about impeachment tonight. Now she's under pressure from her own party. And so much for that. She's facing pressure from some members of her conference following her vote to impeach now former President Donald Trump earlier this morning for incitement of insurrection. Though it was the most bipartisan impeachment of a president ever, there was still only a handful of Republicans who voted across party lines with Democrats for impeachment. Cheney was the member with the highest name recognition, and it was earned her the ire, which means the disagreement of her of some of the Trump's faithfuls, who are now circulating a petition and calling for the Wyoming lawmaker to resign from her spot in leadership. Okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. So the Democrats, I don't think are going to get, they need 17 Republicans to go along with them. Now, when they were doing the counting initially, there were 10 Republicans who voted for impeachment. Now, I think most of those have backed off. And from what I understand, there are only 5 left standing. So it's really going to be hard. The part I don't understand is because of what he did, there should be some kind of what do you get when you do things wrong with your parents? You get a whooping. So he needs something to, you know, there's got to be a consequence for what he did. The only thing I'm saying is if they don't go through that and they don't give him some kind of consequence, wait till the next president comes in. Because Biden has already said, and he's repeatedly said, he only wants one term. Now, maybe when he was younger and in Congress, it would have been okay for him to do 2. But he knows his age, and, you know, it makes sense because right now he is the oldest president that we've had so far. So, I mean, you know, he wants to do what he can do right now, and hopefully he'll be able to do some changes to what Trump has done. So I don't know. I don't know now. And you have people in different, the Republicans and Democrats are having problems, not only with the Democrats, but with each other. They're really having a time. I don't know what's going on, and I don't think anybody else is going on. But right now, I have a caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you from?
My name's Bianchi. I'm coming from the Midwest South.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. My question is, why come the Republicans haven't filed impeachment charges against Joe Biden for a whole host of things?
He just got in. Why would they impeach him?
Wait a minute. When he was out, he should have been impeached, right? For what he done with the Ukraine bribery charge. And another point, too. The Democrats use race, and I'm African-American. Democrats use race in order to incite emotions. Well, why don't Republicans do the same thing? Was there not black workers who have lost their job because of the elimination of the Keystone and these other radical things that he's doing? He make a point that he's eliminating contracts with private prisons, federal contracts.
What's the problem with that?
Because, the prisons?
Yeah.
Well, most people that sentences are in state prisons. Federal government had no authority over state prisons.
We're talking about
That's
what you said, right?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. You have private prisons, Core Civic and Neon also work for the states. They run prisons.
Right,
and at the state level, you have over 2 million that's incarcerated in state prisons and local incarceration mechanisms. But at the federal level, it's probably only 250, maybe 300,000.
So what's the problem with getting out of the private prison industry?
Well, it's not the problem. It's how he's using it to fool people. It's going to be all prisons.
It's going to be who?
It's how he's using it to fool people, thinking that he's making mention to all incarceration, all prisons. And that's just not true. Same thing with schools. Federal government has no control over local school districts unless they're taking some federal funds, which is usually meager. Like when he said that, just like they're talking about making changes with police. Federal government has no responsibility over local police departments. That's with the state and the local community themselves. Their state constitution gives them that.
The federal government has militarized local police. They have given them incentives. They've got the burn grant, which is worth billions of dollars, and even President Obama increased the funding of that over what George Bush had funded at. And all that does is continue to fund the war on drugs, which in turn is the harassment and arrest of black and brown people by pending, a bunch of charges on them so that they can get them felonies.
I used to sit on a police commission in Missouri, not far from Ferguson, Missouri. A municipality don't have to take anything from the federal government. Matter of fact,
They're not turning down any money.
Well, then that's the people. Because the people of those communities, let me take Ferguson for instance. Ferguson was about 67% black. Yeah, is that whining is on your end? Well, okay. Ferguson was about 67% black. Blacks left North St. Louis. Communities like Walnut Park, O'Fallon Park, Penrose, escaping crime and moved to the nearer outskirts of St. Louis City, which happened to be one municipality was Ferguson. They was in that community since the late 60s in numbers. They could have changed the police department in the time they got ready because they controlled the community.
Oh, okay.
Police are employees and the people are employers.
So, no, I hear you, you know, I hear you with your Republican talking points. I'm just trying to figure out what point.
Well, I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative.
From prison to education to the police, you know, but you really aren't making any sense. You know, you're talking about Joe Biden should have been arrested before he was even elected. You know, I mean, you know, all that stuff sounds like, you know.
Well, it's true. In Missouri, you made mention of education. The state, Missouri state constitution gives the, and the Missouri state statutes give control over school districts to the people. Not the state, not the White House for sure. It's the people have it. The whatever the curriculum, whatever the books and the teacher instruction is up to the people. So the federal government don't have any control over that.
So what's the problem? I'm trying to
The problem is, and maybe for some it's not, is that people don't know their civic responsibility and the powers they already have rather than seeking it from the White House. There's over 18,000 policing authorities across the country. The White House don't control none of them.
Well, you know, I didn't hear you calling in talking about when Betty DeVos was Secretary of Education, you know, and all the funds she was taking away from public schools and diverting to charter schools. I didn't hear you calling in complaining
about
that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with charter schools. Charter school is choice. I'm for choice. I think a parent and family should have the right to place their child where they think it's best for their child, their education and environment, and goes along with a long-term
with federal
plan.
Funds? Now, you're talking about federal funds. You know?
No, it's not federal funds. It's not federal funds. It's the funds in their local. It's the funds in their local school district. Matter of fact, in the St. Louis area, you're going to be interested to hear this.
What's that?
No, the majority of the funds that run a school district comes from, it depends on the district you are, it's the local, federal minuscule, then the state. Federal government, unless you're in like an urban school district, like in the city of St. Louis, where it's about 15-18%, 35% from the state, and the rest come from the local community.
Okay.
You have some communities, Ladue and Clayton, and I'm just naming a couple, where about 97% of the operation for that public school district comes from the local community. They receive hardly nothing from the federal government.
Well, you know, I understand, you know, regarding, you know, per pupil funding and things of that nature. And then Jenny White is a, you know, retired educator as well. So I'm sure.
Yes, and I had something to, I wanted to kind of chime in. And just to tell you that they did get charter schools did get money too.
You have an echo, right?
Well, charter schools don't receive. For instance, in St. Louis, the ADA, the average daily attendance revenue for a school bill is about $14,000. Now, if a parent chooses to put their child in a charter school, about $7,500 follows that child, and the rest of it stays in the building. But regardless of the amount, it's the fact that that's the parent's choice, which they should have.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
The topic is the impeachment, and we're
so let's
talking.
Go back to that.
Yeah, I talked about that earlier, and he asked me what was
I
the.
I know
what
you
was
were
the,
you were talking about why didn't they impeach Biden? Biden just got in there, and I don't see him doing anything to be impeached for. I mean,
he's trying to overturn
all that garbage that Trump did. He doesn't believe in, you know, the fuel and everything, and our heir. You know, he doesn't believe in all of that.
Well, I tell you about the fossil fuel. A lot, you're talking about millions of people that's being impacted by that. Down in the southern state of Louisiana, where 30% of the population is black, it's a lot of people, black people that's working in the petroleum business. You have a lot of young black STEM graduates, like those that's being sponsored and assisted by the National Society of Black Engineers, that's going into petroleum-related ventures, earning $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, like chemical engineers, civil engineers, petroleum engineers. They losing their jobs. They had good upper middle class jobs.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that technology is taking over.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people losing jobs. You know, a whole middle class has been wiped out. I mean, you know, here in Detroit, you know, the industry is the car industry. You know, and so when the car industry at some point was, you know, during 2008 was going bankrupt. During the recession, there were a whole lot of Republicans that said, don't fund it, including Trump. Let them go bankrupt. You know, so there's a whole lot of black people here with high school
in 2008. Trump wasn't in office in 2008.
No, he wasn't, but he still said, don't fund it. Just like.
Well, he was a citizen.
Yeah, he was a citizen.
Well, let me ask you this.
Opinion.
Let me ask you this. Do you agree with impeachment or no?
Impeachment.
Yeah,
of
only
Donald
one
Trump?
Word. Yes.
Donald
or
Trump
no?
is out of office. Donald Trump is out of
yeah,
no. I don't.
One word. Yes or no?
No. No.
Okay,
based
okay,
on the Constitution,
no. That's all. That's not in the Constitution that you can't impeach someone.
You impeach a president. You the man is a citizen.
Well,
where
most
do you,
of
where
the
does
time
it say
you
can
do.
Impeach a citizen?
But, wouldn't you
most
say that he needs some kind of consequence for what he did?
No, he's not in office.
That's not what I asked you. I asked you.
I said no, ma'am.
Your assistant. Okay.
What kind of consequences? For what? That's
for
a broad
what?
Term.
That's not a
well, yes.
Well,
you,
it sounds
I'm asking.
Like you were, it sounds like you were in total support of, you know, everything.
No, I'm a United States citizen. I'm a United States citizen. I support the U.S. Constitution. I happen to be
well,
African American.
Well, he didn't. He committed treason.
Like
you
when?
By, like when? Like, when
yes.
He didn't even like his own
supporters.
America when he was down there with Putin. And when the
yeah,
FBI
well, you
told
mean
in, him. Oh, never mind.
you mean
not
collusion?
In office anymore, and you don't want impeachment. Okay.
Well, no, he's not in office. He's not in office. I agree.
So
but
you don't
got about
think
75 to 80.
He should have any kind of consequence?
No, no more than Bill Clinton when he was at a world conference, and he said that he believes like to see Detroit developed by Syrian refugees. What is that doing to the black sister?
And you believe all those kids should be in those cages?
All those kids should be in those cages. What cages? Those divided spaces. They use chain link to divide them like they always have. Matter of fact, that started with Obama.
Would you put your kids in there?
My kid would be back in Honduras, Nicaragua. Those kids that's showing up at the border with adults, how do you know that those are their relatives?
Who cares if they're their relatives? If they show up,
well,
they're showing up for a reason.
Who cares?
They gotta be.
Well,
wait
a minute. You said who cares? There's a possibility it could be trafficking. And the El Paso office of ICE have indicated many times how children have showed up at the border with people that was not their relatives, not even their kin. Mm-hmm. They get on this side, they call somebody who know, and they send them back down to the southern. Wet southern hemisphere where they can do it all over again.
Well, you know.
So that's a tragic.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway.
And I think.
Anyway, that gives you. I'm getting ready to get off here. Yeah, with certain topics, I think that, you know, there's things that you're more abreast of than I am, and maybe the next person than myself. But those things you need to think about, I think, at some point in time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Okay, so we're going. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm going to take a break. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
Okay, and we're back with the Jenny White. Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. And I wanted to talk about Representative Republican Liz Cheney, who had voted to impeach Trump. Now she's under pressure from her own company, her own party. So they have so many things going on. They have this new lady who just got in, and she's a Trumpster. And her problem is she's talking about, you know, people that agree with impeachment. And she's having a real problem. Now, she's new. She's a new lady. And she just got in. And she just started making a whole lot of stuff. And her name is Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she's a Republican from Georgia. So evidently there wasn't anybody else running with her, I guess. I don't know, for her to get in. But she's having a real problem because she likes Trump. And she says she will never back down and she will never give up. So she's doing all kinds of things with one of the other, I think it's a senator, but she is, calling her different names. And she's getting very serious to the point where Bush, she wants to move her office and her staff away from this woman. She's crazy. She is really, she just got in. And usually when you're appointed to a new office or something new, you kind of sort of sit down and, you know, listen and just kind of see which way the wind is blowing. But not her. She's all up and they're talking that that she has appalling behavior, you know, and she's caused trauma for survivors of violence. I don't know where that was. She's fueled domestic terrorism, endangered the lives of her colleagues, and brought shame on the House of Representatives. So, what do you think about that? What do you think about the Republican Party at this point in time? No one? No one has an idea? I'm sorry?
Well, I think they've lost their mind. I think that, you know, the Republican Party, as far as conservatism, has now turned to a more vile party of openly racist insurrection supporters and people that are really trying to overturn the Constitution while proclaiming, you know, they want their freedom back. And so I think that, you know, democracy is in trouble. And the Washington Post had written an article, and it says that at this point, you know, at this point, we're too casual with the threat of a state of our union and a, you know, and another possible attack. So, you know, these people are plotting and planning and strategizing and practicing and, you know, planning on kidnapping governors and killing them. And, you know, they were in the Capitol looking for Nancy Pelosi to shoot her in the brain and Nick
and
Pence,
to hang
Pence. Mention them and AOC, you know, they were so and then now they want to carry guns, you know, on the Capitol floor and inside the Capitol in their offices. So it's, you know, they've been saying that how, if it was any of us, you know, would we be able to go, would our workplace allow somebody that is threatening our lives to continue to work there, you know? And chances are probably not. But in the Congress, it seems to be quite okay. So that's the state of our government at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of raggedy.
Yeah, and it seems like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I know, and my thing is, like I was talking earlier, he only wants one term. And with all of the things that he wants to do, I don't think one term is going to be enough.
Well, I mean,
I know he's huh?
Well, you get started and you do what you can, you know, until, you know, your time runs out, and then you try to, you know, can get another Democrat in there to finish. So, I mean, no president can do everything, you know.
Well, that's true.
Obama couldn't undo everything that George Bush had done.
Yeah, but Obama's hands were truly tied. They wanted him to be a nothing president.
Well, they wanted him to be a one-term president, too. That's what Mitch McConnell said. He was going to make him a one-term president, but he lied.
And during
about
the inauguration, they weren't there. They were in a restaurant trying to fix how they were going to make him fail. The interesting part is he had two terms. Ha! Anyway.
Oh, yeah. And if we have any callers that, you know, be interested in joining this conversation, talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, the new representative from Georgia, who is openly a
crazy
QAnon supporter, who believes the forest fires in California were started by a Jewish laser by a Jewish spaceship or something. So, I mean, she's the forest fires in California were started by a Jewish laser or something. I mean, she's just way out there.
And they put her in on the education, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
She's on the education committee. And she, you know, she thinks that the school shootings and the school shootings at Sandy Hook were all fake and made up. So that's the person that they have representing us on the education committee in Congress.
She is a nutcase, for real.
But I'm sure
I don't know.
Carla wouldn't have a problem with it.
Well, I don't know, but she is really, she's dangerous. I'm telling you, I think, what is her name? The lady's name is Bush, if I'm not mistaken.
Cori Bush?
And
I think it's Cori Bush.
No, yes, that's it, Cori Bush. And like I was saying, that woman has said all kinds of things that Corey says she's kind of afraid. So she needs to find another office away from that crazy woman.
Well, I didn't hear Corey say she was afraid, because Corey is, you know, a real soul sister that's been, you know.
Yes, she is. She's been homeless.
Oh, yeah, she's the truth, you know, and so she speaks it like it is. So, you know, she was complaining that she was walking down the tunnel, you know, heading to.
Right. And she was coming up behind her.
Yeah, you know, talking loud with no mask on. So she told her to put a mask on, and, you know, she was talking on something about Black Lives Matter. So she, you know, just as racist. But, you know, so is Josh Harsley, you know, from Kansas. You know, he's racist, and Ted Cruz is weak, you know.
Cruz is so pitiful. And when AOC said something, and she clapped back at him and told her she didn't want his agreement because he tried almost to get her murdered, and what the best thing he can do is to resign.
Oh, yeah. So she said like it is.
Yeah, that's what she said. The best thing he can do, because she don't want his agreement. Not at all. He's crazy. All of these people want the Trump supporters, when they come up for election, they feel that if they stay true to being Trump's friend, you know, and these people will remember that, you know, and they will vote for him.
Well, now
they all get kicked out. Lindsey Graham.
I just saw that Arizona, you know, legislature. Someone has proposed some legislation so that the state will be able to overturn votes. You know, so they're really, really, really. Overturn votes. That legislation was proposed in Arizona.
What?
And then, you know, in Georgia now, they're trying to make it where you have to show two pieces of ID to vote, to, you know, absentee, to,
Trump,
you know, get your ballot and turn it in.
Okay.
So,
hold on. I have another caller. Hello, caller. How are you?
Hello, and how are you this evening, Miss Jenny White, and our wonderful co-host.
Hello, caller. Hello.
Yes. I was just listening to my understanding is this, that how they Trump has already been impeached. My understanding, the way it's, the process is, the House impeached him, but it's up to the Senate to take further action to remove him or to do whatever they can, you know, with it.
But what they want to do is to make sure that he won't try to run for president again. But I don't know if they know he wants to start his own mega party.
Yeah, he has his own, because a lot of the people are agreeing with him, because he has the, here we go again, he has those white evangelicals behind him. That's about 70 million, okay? 70 million. Those people are still holding true to him no matter what.
Are
but
you serious?
He's already been impeached. That's my understanding of the process.
Well, he's
now,
the only one
as far
that's been
as,
impeached twice.
Yes, he has. But as far as the, they're supposed to be a standard for the senators. They're supposed to be a standard for the representatives. When you go there, there is a standard that you're supposed to hold and be an example to the people that you are representing. More and more things are becoming like really messy. You know, since he has been in office, they can say anything, they can do anything, they can.
Yeah.
It's just no standard at all. You can, if you're racist, you can show your racist, your tendencies and things like, you can say what you want. This is a time when you're supposed to be representative of the people, not yourself, but the people who you say you represent, who put you there. And this standard has gone down. It keeps going down. I was looking at the freedom of speech, where they keep saying, you know, where he as to how they're supposed to use, okay, what is freedom of speech? And they talk about religion, the press, and all this other good stuff. Well, he's been, what he did was, he incited a riot. He incited people to turn against the government to the point where he threatened lives. Even he said, well, I didn't, if they say, well, he just said something, they didn't have to do it, but he did. Now, if they let him off, how can you not let those people off that did what he said? And I brought that subject up to Reverend Sharpton, and he said, listen, for one thing, people are responsible for their own actions. They were hoping that he was going to pardon them, but he didn't. He went about his business and left them holding the bag while they're supposed to face charges. Now, if you don't go after the main person, and he's an official like that who incited the thing and used words, you know, like it's like going into a bank and hollering, this is a holdup or whatever, you know, and all this other stuff. To me, it's on that level where he caused people to lose their lives. If we don't hold him to that standard, how can you hold the next person and the next person, okay? I remember hearing a church official, like freedom of speech, it covers the religion also. He was preaching, and he mentioned the word, this term of fascism, Islamic fascism. He used it in one of his in preaching. Okay? A lot of the Muslim people got offended, so they took it to court because they felt that it was, you know, what he said wasn't right, okay? Now, we do have freedom of speech. So what he had to do, this minister had to go get an attorney and to fight for his right to say what he had to say. That you don't have the right to, you know, you can't sue me for saying my freedom of speech. You can't do that. And he had to fight that. It cost him some money, you know. A lot of the things that's been happening in the churches, you have to have some money to fight those cases, okay? A regular church, just a normal regular church, don't have that kind of money. You don't have that. But that was his right to say what he had to say. He called his term was Islamic fascism. He had to fight that. Our churches don't have money like that where they can fight for things like that. And so this is one of the things that's under the freedom of speech. And he thought it based on the fact that I have a constitutional right to say what I want. And so he did that. You know, he did that. He won the case. Okay, but more and more, you see, like, a lot of the Muslim population, because of the oil and because of the money they have backing them, they're fighting a lot of the cases that's coming up against them through the federal government. They're fighting it through the courts because they have the money. They can pay for it. They can do this. You don't have that kind of money to normally, you know, to fight for what for your freedom to use what the Constitution guarantees you. You just don't have it, and that's a big problem. Okay, and also I look at what President Trump did when they say, well, he pardoned a lot of people. Say, well, look what he did. He let Kwame out. He took him out. But I look at this. There was a young. He's been putting a lot of black people to death under federal guidelines, you know. And this one case was a young man was then since he was 18 that really struck me because when he was put on death row, he's been on death row for the longest, okay. But when you look, go back and look at how the public defender did his case, they hid a lot of evidence, did not let the jurors know, and therefore they voted to put him on death row. He gave him the death penalty. But a lot of the jurors have said, look, if I had known that, I wouldn't have done it that way. So all this is being hid. We don't have the money to fight these cases like it should be. But Trump put him to death. You know, this way of using the justice system, you know, to cause someone to lose their lives, when it shouldn't have been that way. He had done something that caused people to lose their lives. And I feel that he should be tried for it. Well, he's out of office now. They played that. They weren't going to do anything against him anyway. Because, like I said, they're afraid of those evangelicals out there who's waiting. Now, going back to President Obama, he is known for getting that Affordable Care Act, too. He had a Congress that worked with him. He lost that you know, after when we didn't vote like we were supposed to for this midterm election. And a lot of those people, when they went back home because they helped in that area, they lost their jobs. A lot of the Congress people lost their jobs who supported Obama in that getting that petition too for the Affordable Care Act. And that's been beneficial. 23 million people got some insurance for once, and you know, got to help them out. But this former president, he did wrong. It was wrong what he did. And then to keep supporting the lie that the election was stolen from him. We don't have enough money to buy an election like that. He does. But we don't. We didn't have that. All the black people had was their vote. I know when I went to bed that night, the election night, the board was red. And then he comes screaming and hollering, okay, stop the vote. I took this
election. Stop the counting.
Stop the counting. You know, don't do this. I'm this. I won and all this. Oh, you think you is, you know. Because he hadn't hit those black areas where that was heavily Democratic. And he was trying to change this and change that and going through all these changes and stuff. Because the next morning, my daughter called me. She said, Mama, Michigan is blue. I said, how is it Michigan blue? You know, but they hadn't gotten into the areas that are heavily, the black votes were there. They hadn't gotten there yet. And it turned the whole state, you know. Now he wants to keep fighting through these courts and things like this. Go ahead.
I just can't understand because Arizona is blue as well. And people are actually having a problem with that. I thought, now this is just me, I thought that when you elect people, you elect them because you think they're going to do good for the people that, you know, they have the power over and to help people.
Yeah.
I did not know that. You're voting because you've always voted for Republicans, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, and that's okay. You are supposed to vote for people that are for the country. That's what I thought. These people are hanging on to Trump's coattail tight. Trump doesn't care about anyone except Trump. He doesn't know the Constitution. I doubt if he's ever touched it. I know he hasn't read it. They allowed him to do whatever he wanted. And
well,
he
you know,
wanted to be a king. And
well,
that's
you know, yeah,
go ahead.
he was being mentored by, you know, Vladimir.
Oh yeah.
But the thing
he wanted
is,
to be the
king.
The
thing
too.
Is the reason why you have all these poor white people that are, you know, voting against their interests is because, you know, when Martin Luther King, you know, was advocating for civil rights, and he had gotten to the point where he saw, you know, it just wasn't enough. You know, affirmative action was just a Band-Aid, you know. And so the real change needed to be human rights instead of just civil rights. So human rights would include poor white people, you know, to get in the same fight with the poor black people. And so at that point, you know, being able to stabilize that base of people was just too much, because that is a majority of people that would be able to make a difference and disrupt the status quo as far as the 1% is concerned, and it would affect their money and revenues as far as equal, you know, equal pay, equal rights and things of that nature, and, you know, it would disrupt the way that things are. So they had to assassinate him, you know, and they had to get rid of JFK in the process as well. But, you know, that's really the biggest problem with, you know, why you find that the poor whites will vote against their own interests is because, it has been created to where it makes them seem like they're not the lowest on the totem pole. So nobody wants to be lower than the black person. You know, nobody wants to be lower than the
Yeah.
You know, so these white people, you know, if that makes them feel like, hey, you know, we
got still on the map, yeah.
Yeah, then, you know, we'll vote in whatever way we need to keep you down. And
that's true.
That's
you have to go back to slavery. You have to go back to the Civil War, and it was interesting. I was looking at a story of Lincoln, and he had a group of African American clergy and lawyers come and talk to him. He said, "Listen," he said, "what he wanted to do was to take us out of this country and put us on is it Grenada? I'm in Grenada, so we could start our own." And black people said, "No, why would we do that? We were the ones who built up this country. We made this country through our slavery. No, we're not leaving. Why do we have to leave?" He said, "You will never be accepted as equals in this country along with white people." He did tell them that. And they said, "No, we're not going to go. As long as we can take care of ourselves." And you saw that during Reconstruction. Soon as they were free, the Northern troops were in the South to protect them. They started, they had to vote. They could vote. They started voting for their own interests. They would get together and put their own candidates in, and it started moving them ahead. Like, I remember that picture is called Gideon Jackson, and when the late Muhammad Ali played Gideon Jackson, he was a state senator. He became a state senator. He taught himself how to read and write, and he became it. And people, they started getting their own property. One woman, she had about this, and, you know, they started being citizens and putting people in of their own interest, because we had a lot of people, black people, on these congresses, state congress boards and things like that, taking over some city jobs. And so they liked that. You know, they had their own. They were building their own. What the South looked at was, hey, the South had lost. All their stuff was gone. They needed the cheap labor in order to build the South up. They couldn't afford anything. They couldn't afford it. They were gone. When Sherman went through Georgia, and all those states, he tore them up to make them stop fighting. I mean, he did all of this. And then here is you, a slave one day and a citizen the next day, and you doing better than them, you know, better than this, you're doing that, keeping things going. And your children, you're educating your children, and you know, you're just going after it real fast, okay? So
right.
When that they couldn't stand it. So what they did was, in order to do their own thing, they came up with I keep saying is that Rutherford B. Hayes and Tillman were running, and it was a messy presidential election. And so they did this backroom thing where they said, okay, then you, Hayes, we'll let you be the president. But what we want you to do is to pull all the Northern troops out of the South. What they wanted to do was to push the black people back into the land, make them in every way they could. You couldn't have property, take everything that you'd done built up. And what they wanted to do was to make you be a slave again, put you on slave status. They found ways to do that. They drafted these laws and things that drove you back to the land. They could take your child, make them work in the mines, make them do this, make them do that. A lot of people disappeared. Then they started all this lynching and things of that nature. If you tried to fight back, you know, they said, well, that law's gone. We ain't doing that law no more. They kept changing the law.
They created those black holes, too, so they found loitering. Black holes. You had to be employed. You couldn't be employed. You know, couldn't be more than, you know, two or three black people, you know,
had to look
together
down
at one
and all
time. Yeah, so, you
a
know.
A lot of
start,
black people petitioned the federal government. They petitioned. Look what's happening to us. But they turned their head. Wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Roosevelt, off, they turned their head and wouldn't do anything.
And that's when, you know, those Southern Democrats power back.
When you remember when they was trying to count the electoral vote count with Pelosi and all of before when on the 6th when they were doing that, and so then they were talking about Arizona. What Arizona? When then they broke off and they went to discuss what they were going to do in Arizona since they were questioning those electoral votes. Ted Cruz,
right?
I'm looking at it right now. He started talking about maybe we should look into it. We should do what they did. He went back to what they did in 1876. I said, what do you mean 1876? See, in 1876, that led to the compromise of 1877 that messed up the, that made them take some of the votes away, you know, and made them vulnerable, black people vulnerable again to the, just, you know, throw out our votes. And, you know, like we didn't have, there was nothing we could do. It led to them by pulling the, you know, taking away our covenant. All we had was the vote. And we worked on that. We worked on that. We got it through. President Trump hates to admit that it was the black people that put something, that, you know, again, that we put somebody in that we felt would be to our own interest. He hates to admit that.
That was historic.
Black people did that. Everybody I've talked to, even my friends in Windsor, Canada, say, well, that he was stolen from him. You know, these are churchy people, you know.
Oh, wow.
Y'all did that. No, they didn't. They didn't steal the election. We voted that man out using the power that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate
well, that might kind of stop people. Some people from voting, or I don't know what's going to happen next time. Because he started the lie and he kept it going. And they believed
it. They knew it was wrong, yeah.
They believed it.
But
and
people,
they were ready to
do they want to believe it. They know that it's not true.
They were ready to do harm, and he didn't care because he told them to fight like hell.
That is. And gave those groups permission to do what they were doing.
And I guess if more people had died, maybe the Republicans would be more you know, ready to agree with the Democrats, and maybe they could impeach him again. But I guess because
they have to, it's up to the Senate to remove him or to take further action. They don't want to do it. Well, he's out of office, right? They planned it.
They're not going
to
do it.
Well, he's out of office now. They, hey, he this, he that, you know, all this stuff, because they're looking for him to run in 2024 to take back. And they want to take back the 2022 is important because we have that midterm election. They want to get the Senate back under their control, the House of Representatives back under their control, and then put him back in 2024. That's what they want to do.
Oh, yeah.
In order to change and then to really, you know, to have them control the power making. This is what he calls making America great again. Going
no,
all the way
he,
back.
He's not saying what he wants to say to make America white, like that guy that was in Dearborn. And he said, I guess he was the mayor or the governor or some of Dearborn. And they were taking down his statues and all that kind of stuff because what he did, he wanted to keep Dearborn white.
Yeah, he did.
He said he wanted Dearborn to stay white.
Yeah.
So
I forget who it was. I know the mayor of Dearborn Heights, he just recently died. I think from COVID complications
right.
about a month or so ago.
Yeah, but
I don't know if that was him.
He wanted Dearborn
was
to stay white. You know, this thing has just continued, and it's just gone too far.
The thing I'm concerned about is that we have such an element within our own community that we can't pull ourselves together enough to fight for what we need here. We have the element that's against us. Like somebody, he's telling him that he's for Trump, and why are we going to do this and that? Well, you can be for who you are. But when the whole thing, he's been killing black men. He's been killing black men. And he going to get up and say something like that, and I'm for this, and I'm that. Okay, well, that's your right. Okay, that's your right. But you got to have some sense, even with your right, to see what's going on.
Well, you know what makes it even worse is when you got black men that support it. Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Reverend L. Johnson, he pointed out that 11% of the black men, 11% of the black men voted for Trump.
Voted for Trump, yeah.
Right.
Voted for Trump. That's what I say, well, okay, that's their right to do that. Most people say because they don't want no woman in their position close to that kind of power.
Well, it's too
they
bad because
no
they have her, and he may have chosen her. I don't know, but he may have chosen her because she did run for president. And when he leaves after his first term, then she can just, fill in his spot. I don't know who else will be running.
Who will vote to put her in like that? To put her in like the,
You know what?
He talked about,
she probably won't get in because she was the one that because she was black, and Asian or whatever, they can't stand it. They just can't stand it. And we as black people don't necessarily stand with each other. And
we won't do it. We won't do it.
I can't stand that. Because white people will stand together even if they don't know the other person. All they know is it's white. But, I don't know.
He has given them they can act any kind of way. They can say anything they want.
Yeah.
And all of this to you now, and threaten your life. We shouldn't have to go around here, we're supposed to have equal protection under the law. We don't have that. That's a part of the Constitution.
No.
We don't have it. It's
don't
not
think
that way.
Heard that.
My thing was when he put that boy that put those people to death on death row.
Okay.
Like he did us a favor.
I'm getting a countdown, so anybody want to say anything?
I think we had an interesting show. I think the state of our nation right now is on high alert, and I think that we really need to pay attention because our democracy is at stake. So that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, sir. Okay, and what I'd like to say is stop always expecting your blessings to be financial or materialistic. God just may have added some more years to your life instead. So
that's true. I would like to say this. I was listening to Bishop Jakes.
10 seconds. They're counting
on me. On leadership. And he said this. He said, we are looking at domestic problems, but we have to look out. There are more problems that we're facing than domestic, and China is one of them. They're arming. They're getting ready for war. Biden just sent another ship. He had to send another nuclear carrier, whatever, ship over there in the China Sea because of Taiwan. And that's all I'm saying. Here we are arguing with ourselves, and we're vulnerable inside and outside. It don't make any sense. Thank you very much for allowing me to say something tonight.
Okay. All right. Everybody keep your mask on and, you know, wash your hands and do your social distancing and be safe out there, because this is not a hoax. It is not a joke. It's for real. Now they have different strains of the pandemic. So, you know, just be careful and have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
Talk
all
about
right,
it. Jenny White Show.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank you.